You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The fact that I couldn't remember the last time a voter actually asked me about it says that it's not something that the public's really calling for here in New Zealand. When I've been asked for an opinion, I've certainly shared it, and I think that within my lifetime, you know, there is a likelihood that we'll transition. It's not something that this government is prioritising at all, though. And the most important thing for New Zealand, of course, will be that we have a very special arrangement and relationship via, you know, our Treaty of Waitangi. And the relationship between Māori and the Crown. And so before any conversation like that occurs, that's something that will be needed to be resolved within New Zealand.
Yes, that was Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern saying she believes Aotearoa will become a republic in her lifetime. However, when John Key was Prime Minister, he said it was unlikely this would happen. So I spoke with Savage from New Zealand Republic about the chances of it happening and what form it would take. I began by asking him why New Zealand should become a republic.
Well, obviously, we think that New Zealand's head of state should be a New Zealander. And at the moment, our head of state is, in effect, the Governor General. So what we're saying is that we should recognise that and make the final transition and have the Governor General become our head of state.
So if we did become a republic, would it essentially just be someone who performs the same role as the Governor General now, but they'd be elected?
Yeah, that's in a nutshell, that's at the heart of the matter. People often say New Zealand's already in a de facto republic, and what they really mean is that, you know, we're a democratic country with the rule of law, we have a full functioning constitution, but there's this last little part of New Zealand that hasn't quite changed yet. So our proposal is to take that role of Governor General, tidy it all up, make that transition, leave them with the same powers and obligations and roles, and then just transition across. A relatively straightforward way to do it.
So do you feel this is something the government should legislate, or should there be a referendum on the issue?
Oh, there definitely needs to be. Well, the answer is both, really. But in order to have referendums, and certainly we would say that it does need a referendum, if not two or three referendums, that would need some legislation, obviously, to set out some sort of head of state commission, set up the process for referendums. The first referendum, we would think, would ask whether or not people want to change from having the current system, a constitutional monarchy, to being a parliamentary republic. And then if people say yes, we would like to change, then that would go into the second referendum, where people would specifically be able to choose between, with the exact details of what that would mean versus the current system.
And currently, what do you feel the public mood on the issue is? Do you think people support a republic, or there's still quite a few monarchists out there?
Oh, I think definitely still a lot of people that are reluctant to change, but our polling, we've done the same polling over the last 3 to 4 years, and it's shown a consistent trend, in favour of becoming a republic. Now, in the last poll, which was conducted over a year and a half ago now, that poll showed that the majority of New Zealanders, for the first time, the majority of New Zealanders were in favour of our own head of state. Now, we haven't repeated that poll yet. We'll do that later in the year. But we'd be interested to see whether that trend...
Because Jacinda Ardern has said that she expects Aotearoa will become a republic in her lifetime. Do you share this view? Are you optimistic?
Oh, definitely optimistic. It is inevitable that we will become a republic, but it's only inevitable if we sort of get on with it and stop sort of talking about it so much. What we think is, like we talked about the referendums, there's going to be a need to have at least two referendums. There's all this kind of transition time that would be needed. So we're looking at, you know, anywhere between 3 and 12 years before the whole process is finished. So we do need to start that process sooner rather than later. So yes, it's inevitable, but in order to get it done and get it done well, then we really need to start that process sooner.
Because a lot of government figures have said they do support Aotearoa becoming a republic, but that they won't be the ones to kind of set the wheels in motion. Why are governments kind of scared to broach the subject, I suppose?
Yeah, it's not a hotbed issue, right? It's not an issue that people get into fights over in the pub or anything like that. And we tend to see a little bit of fence sitting from some of the political leaders who don't really want to take sides on something that for some people is quite, you know, quite contentious and quite emotive. And so they're sort of sitting back and waiting to see how it goes. And I don't necessarily blame them. Until you see that a majority of New Zealanders are in favour of it, then why would you start to prioritise the process? for us, it's a constitutional priority. But until we see a really clear trend of the majority of New Zealanders saying, yep, time for a change, then there's no reason to necessarily move on it. So I think, you know, as Republic supporters, that for us to say, yep, Aotearoa needs to change, then we need to get to that point where the majority of people are very clearly saying that.
But why do you feel that a lot of people in New Zealand do still feel a connection to the monarchy?
I think it's, I mean, a lot of people in New Zealand feel a connection and have really deep personal connections to Britain, and they associate the monarchy with Britain. And the royal family has obviously a lot, there's a lot of publicity around the royal family, there's a lot of PR activity around them to promote them, essentially. So what we're saying is, we don't mind if people like the royal family, we don't mind if they have that allegiance to Britain. You know, I myself, I'm a British citizen, and my father was British, my grandparents are British. We don't mind if people have that allegiance, but what we're saying is that doesn't mean that our head of state should be British. That there needs to be a distinction between having our strong connections with Britain and having our own head of state.
And if we were to become a republic, would you like to see bigger changes, sort of an introduction of a constitution, things like that, along with it?
Well, some people have said that, and certainly the Jeffrey Palmer, who is promoting, you know, the idea of a New Zealand constitution, has also advocated, in some ways, a similar process to what we're advocating for New Zealand to become a republic. Those two things don't have to go hand in hand. We can become a republic without having a fully written single constitution. Now, some people say, you know, those two go together. We would say, no, we shouldn't actually wait. We should just forge ahead with that, and then the constitution can be written around that. But what Sir Geoffrey Palmer's work has done is given us a framework through which we may be able to think about what the bigger picture is long term.
And are there countries who have become a republic recently that we can sort of look to see what they've done?
No, actually, that's a good question. I can't think of any off the top of my head. There's certainly plenty within the Commonwealth that are thinking about it. You know, the majority of countries in the Commonwealth are already republics, and there are plenty of the realms that are left that are thinking about it. Australia, New Zealand, Canada, obviously very strong republic movements in those countries. Britain has a very strong head of state campaign going on, and the little Caribbean countries like Barbados and Jamaica are also having discussions and making moves toward it, but nothing recently.
Do you feel once the Queen eventually departs the throne, do you think this will increase support for republic, or is there a risk that people will want to stick with the monarchy if popular royals take over like Prince William and Kate?
Yeah, I mean, anecdotally, we would think, yes, there would be a lot more support for the change. You talked about people having that allegiance to the royal family, and certainly that allegiance is much stronger with Queen Elizabeth. And you know, for most of us, we can't actually remember any other head of state other than Queen Elizabeth. We know all the plenty of governor generals that we've had over the years, but Queen Elizabeth's been the reigning monarch. But anecdotally, we would say that, yes, support will change as soon as people start to get the sense that it's going to be Charles next. But I just want to stress something quite important, which is our campaign is not about the personalities of the royal family. To us, it's very much about the principles involved, and it doesn't really matter whether the British monarch is Queen Elizabeth or the British monarch is Charles. Those things are not important. It is about the fact that a New Zealander should have the role.
Do we currently make any contributions to the royal family?
But as far as I know, we don't pay any money for the upkeep of the royal family. What we pay for is the functioning of the Governor General and Government House, and obviously we pay quite a bit of money each time the royal family visit. But in terms of the cost of becoming a republic, other than the transition costs, obviously there'd be some transition costs to hold a referendum, the actual cost itself would be negligible because we already have the Governor General Government House set up.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.